Please do have a pew. Well done, Rebecca, for reading that gospel. I'm glad I wasn't doing it. A lot of very difficult words. Thank you very much. Thank you, too, for all that you do to enable this place to be the body of Christ in so many different ways. Thank you that this isn't a church building that's just open on a Sunday morning, but it's open all week and every day for all those who have faith and those who have none. So thank you for enabling that. Thank you for whoever has washed that altar linen, Purcell White. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do in so many ways, whether it's arranging flowers, making marmalade, which I come and buy, by the way, or whether it's singing the choir, ringing bells, cleaning the church, whatever it is. Thank you so, so much for every little bit that you do, because within that little bit, you are proclaiming the gospel of Christ aloud, and that everybody who walks in and walks out and walks past knows that you are alive and that Jesus Christ is therefore alive. So thank you for all that you do. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of Christ. We pray as we gather around your word this morning that you would meet each of us at our differing points of need, and that you would help us to proclaim the gospel aloud and clear to all whom we meet and come into contact with this week. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Advent is not something that most people really know about, sadly, anymore. I was talking to my hairdresser a couple of weeks ago, and I was explaining what I was doing the following Sunday. It's second, isn't it, this week? So it was the week before first Sunday of Advent, and she had no idea. She said, "What is Advent? I have never heard of the word Advent." Now, I have to tell you, my hairdresser isn't particularly young. So I explained to her what Advent was all about and the preparation up for Christmas. And as I was explaining to her, the other hairdressers and the other clients in that particular shop also were listening. There was nobody in that hairdresser's, all 23 people, who knew what Advent was. It is something that has got very lost, I am afraid. And we need to be able to engage and help people to understand without cynicism or criticism or judgment. It is not their fault. It is ours for not proclaiming it loud enough. So Advent is not what we have to go through to get to Christmas, as I explained. Advent is a distinct and deliberate period in which is drenched in meaning and purpose for those with eyes to see. And that's really the thing about Advent. It's about seeing with new eyes. The resonant themes which find expression in Advent are to do with waiting, they're to do with patience, seeing what is present, and preparing for the fullness of God's presence in that present. It's somewhat countercultural nowadays to wait, isn't it? One of the primary drivers in our society, lifestyle, and technology is the elimination of waiting. Faster broadband. When I had my, before I was an archdeacon, I had 14 parishes. And our broadband, because somebody had cut all the cables in a nearby estate, we didn't have any computers for 3 weeks. Everybody was really distressed about it, apart from the rector, let me tell you. I was having a party. It was fantastic. I thought perhaps they could do something with the phones as well, but never mind. So faster broadband, buying on credit, pre-prepared foods wherever you look, doing things faster and will play a part to suggest that we should embrace waiting, that waiting has a virtue of its own, might sound a bit weird to many people who are alive and kicking in 2018. But waiting is a watchword for Advent, not idle, not impatient waiting to get to the main event, but a rich, resonant, full and active waiting which comes to a slow boil. Advent calls us to a time of active waiting. Active waiting might sound like a paradox, but there's a new and nourishing truth in that paradox. It is an active waiting because it's the sort of waiting which seeks to engage and find meaning in the process of being still and attending to the world as it is. Such waiting is not an impassive waiting, not like sitting at the bus stop, willing the time away until something happens to us. Active waiting is not about being fully present in the present moment. It's about noticing, sensing, connecting, engaging with the world around us. Do you know when you're talking to some people and they're looking for the more important person that's coming into the room, they're always looking over your shoulder? That's not the waiting I'm talking about. I'm not waiting for something more important to happen. I'm waiting for the waiting now. When somebody does that to me, I always ask who they're looking for. Perhaps you want to do the same. So it's about noticing, sensing, connecting, engaging with the world around us, because this present which we inhabit is worthy of our attention, is worthy of our attention, and is not merely the stepping stone to a future time. Yet the future is important. The call to preparation, which Advent proclaims aloud, is very strong. But part of what an intention to Advent shows us is that engaging with the mystery, the glory of God's presence coming right among us. Christmas time, we need to have attended to what it is if we are going to understand fully what Advent is, right here among us. We need to understand Jesus' presence, how he walked amongst us on earth, and when he comes, where will he come if he was coming in 2018? Where would we find Jesus? Would we find him at Brook House, where I was last week, the detention centre? Maybe. Would we find him in a doorway in Crawley? As I was walking through last night, there was a family in a doorway at the post office in Crawley. A family. Or would we find him in the corner of a small charity shop? I guess it wouldn't be where we think he's going to turn up. The Gospel of Luke opens with a proclamation of waiting and preparation. John the Baptist cries out in the wilderness. He doesn't suggest, hint, or persuade. He cries from the heart and from his gut. He cries out into the wilderness of a society which doesn't want to be distracted from its way of life. And he dares to proclaim a message of change. Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent in your hearts and strengthen. Strengthen our lives. The active waiting of Advent becomes a stirring preparation of Advent, because hearts and minds which have attention to the world around cannot remain passive to the inadequacies within and the injustices and suffering of the world outside. Advent preparations aren't to do with celebrating the festival at the end, to looking forward to a day several weeks ahead. It is about seeing in everything that we do in this moment. It's not merely as a countdown to Advent of no significance of its own. In our Advent calendars, it isn't the tearing off of doors which best prepares us for Christmas, but the building up of the picture which gives greater depth, richness and meaning and great interest to that picture. Preparation is to do with attentiveness to the world in which we live, to the quality of our relationships with others, both near and far, both personal and global. It's to do with structures of injustice and oppression which prevent our current world from yet being like God's kingdom, for which we pray every day the Lord's Prayer. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we shouldn't prepare for Christmas or write cards, buy presents and plan to see family and friends or to party. And might I say our lack of partying has enabled many of our churches up and down the country to be more empty than they should be. That's all got a valid place within the celebration of the feast of Christmas. But Advent is rich, searching, rewarding, and a dramatic period of time in its own right. And as Christians, we will grow in our faith, in our ability to connect with God and to discern his purposes in our lives, if we give serious attention to the themes and calls of this period. Advent is an opportunity to seek stillness and depth, which can be a refreshing antidote to the otherwise frenetic and costly pursuits of December. An opportunity to challenge aspects of the tidal wave of our culture's expectations which engulf us, and an opportunity to seek for an integrity and purpose, fulfillment and joy, justice and hope in a world which is characterized as much by its imperfections as for the wonder of its creation. The depth of our searching should lead us to complete the signs in the world of both God's abundant plenty and Christ's ongoing suffering. And having looked and seen, to feel both the joy of gratitude and the pain of violence. And having shared the response of creation to God's presence, then to act in love and generosity and compassion to everyone. This is to prepare the way of the Lord. This is to make straight those paths. This is to prepare the way for Christ. How do we do that, and what difference will it make? One small suggestion is to respond in prayer and action, not just to stand and watch, but to be involved in everything that we can possibly be involved in. To speak Christ into those hearts and minds, whether it be at the hairdressers, the golf club, the school gate, at your office, wherever it is that you are, we are to proclaim the gospel of Christ together, to prepare for Advent, to make way, to bring Christ and unwrap Advent so that people can see the glory of Christ amongst us at Christmas time. So watch, wait, and prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.